Acts chapter 13. Thank you, ladies. Excellent stuff. Had a Greek teacher that was pretty fond of saying, "Gentlemen, if you can't preach after something like that, you can't preach." And so we will see, right? Amen. How great thou art. Can't speak for you, but I have some folks that I want to see when I cross Chile Jordan. I want to see my brother who died at 41 years of age. I want to see my father who died at 72 years of age. I want to see my grandmother that died of a ripe old age. I want to see my, we've claimed a son we don't know for sure. We've given him the name that none of the kids wanted, Remington. I want to see Remington. I do. He was 6 weeks old in the womb when he died. But he's my son. And if I get pleasantly surprised that he's a daughter, I'll be okay with that. I'll be in heaven. I won't care, right? But church, listen to me. You're kidding yourself. Or, I'm not trying to be hateful or mean, maybe you don't understand enough about your Savior. If you believe that you're going to want to see anyone else more than Jesus when you get to heaven. For you see, He's the only reason my dad is in heaven. He's the only reason my son or daughter's in heaven. He's the only reason my brother, and He'll be the only reason I'm in heaven. How great thou art. Well, so for the last 2 weeks, we haven't really been sure if we would get this opportunity. And for those of you that were able to make it last week, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For those of you that weren't, man, welcome back. Thank you for being here. And we've got some folks, I'm sure, that 10-degree weather has hampered. And I respect and understand that. We've always said that the church attendance, we're not allowed to make it mandatory. Watch this. God has done that already. But from the pulpit, we're not going to say you must be here. That's between you and God. And if you believe you're going to risk life and limb and God has not called you to that to a particular Sunday, stay home, be safe. We respect that. Amen, church? Amen. But if and when you can, certainly Hebrews 10 is there. Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, it is the manner of some. And this church has always been faithful, praise God, to church attendance. I'm telling you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have a message for you today. I feel that way every Sunday, but I know that God wants us to talk about this today. This goes beyond Bethel Baptist Church. This stretches all the way down to South Arkansas. And hopefully someday it's going to stretch all the way to Western Missouri. We as the Association of the BMA in Missouri are contemplating hiring a young man. We'll show his picture here in a moment. But we're contemplating hiring a young man, and that ball was thrown into action last Sunday at Magnolia. And so that's going to be, if you will, that's going to comprise the subject matter of today's message. But what I want to do more than that is talk to you about the leadership of the Holy Spirit, what it means to walk in the Spirit, and how desperately we need to join First Baptist Church in praying on whether or not to set Brother Dustin aside. And can I tell you that if we're not careful, we allow the planning of man to put things into motion that should never have been put into motion. If God builds the house, it's going to go up. If God doesn't build the house, the one that's trying is building in vain. And so if we as an association, much less as a church, want to effectively and supernaturally plant a church in Missouri, it's got to be by and through and by God's design. It just has to. And so today, I'm calling you to join in with what First Baptist Magnolia started last Sunday. had hoped to talk to you some about this last Sunday. It just wasn't time and it wasn't appropriate. We'll get all into all that here in just a moment. I want you to stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word in Acts chapter 13. We have the biblical example of what we're talking about today here in the church that Acts records, the church at Jerusalem. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, we call him the Holy Spirit, he goes by either name, said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I feel like God has put this message together and he's used several people and several entities to do it. I want to share some of that story with you. So Sunday morning last week after our service, Tara came to me with the topics of Bethel Radio Hour. We try to get those out in a timely manner to the panel so that we can be somewhat prepared to talk about them. One of them was a phrase that she has heard me use that we wanted to talk about, quote unquote, walking in the Spirit. And the phrase is this: instant obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. I've not been able to find a better summation of God's word on how to walk in the Spirit. Instant. You're walking in the Spirit when you have instant obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if God did this for fun or if it's just where I'm at in my life. Probably more the latter than the first. But as you know, and folks, this isn't Mandy and I didn't get together, the deacons and I didn't get together and decide this is how we're going to do worship at Bethel Baptist Church, that when the preacher's ready to stand up, he has everybody else stand. We've just allowed that to be a Holy Spirit thing. Now watch this. If you get ready to stand up before the preacher does, you have permission to do that. Amen, church? Amen. Yeah. And if the preacher's not raising his hand and you want to, you have permission to do that. Freedom with limits. We've said that before. And I think it's important. Well, Brother Ben, what do you mean with limits? We don't want you to run across the tops of the pew. You may hurt yourself. Freedom with limits. You got freedom to raise your hand. You got freedom to clap. You got freedom to shout and such of that nature. Freedom with limits. But watch this. I don't think it through. I just wait till I feel like either it's the last song before the offering, because we got to stand for the offering, you know. Thanks for laughing. Or I'm moved. Or Mandy looks at me and goes, "Stand up." And she does that on occasion. She has permission to do that. 9 times out of 12, it's the Holy Spirit saying, "Stand up. I'd rather you worship me in this song standing up than sitting down." And we're sitting there talking about the bride looking for her groom. I don't think she's sitting down. I don't think she's told her bridesmaid, "Bring me a stool. I'm going to wait for Joel, you know." No. She's excited. She's ready. She's standing. And the Holy Spirit said, "Stand up." I'm like, "Is that you, Lord?" This is my humble opinion. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Don't make me say it twice. Are you sure, Lord?" And at that point, it was like, "Oh, okay, stand up." And I stood. Why? Because I believe that that is an accurate depiction of that song. I believe that if we are longfully, urgently, desirously looking for the Lord to come, things are going to happen. I do. I believe we're going to be looking when we go to Quick Trip if there's something, someone that the Lord wants us to talk to or do. I believe when we go to work, our eyes and ears are going to be open to opportunities and the such. Church, He's coming. We don't want to be napping. Yeah? Okay, me and Tom, we don't want to be... No, I'm messing. Stay with me, church. We do not want to be napping. We want to be doing what God has called us to do. That's walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is instant obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. Hear me, church. We all struggle to some level in this area. That's okay. Work on it. Work on it. And I would encourage you to listen to that 20-minute segment, Bethel Radio Hour, BethelLonedale.com. It's easy to find. And we talk about how to walk in the Spirit. No accident. Believe this with all my heart. This is one of my dad's books that is in my library. I've not read all of my books in my library, much less my dad's. But I'm just taking it as it comes. Never laid eyes on this book other than just to handle it, to put it in the bookshelf when I moved the office a year ago. And I've never seen it since until Wednesday. I was preparing for the Bethel Radio segment on walking in the Spirit. I saw this afterglow. Didn't have a clue what it meant. I felt led to pull it. And oh my goodness, the entire book is on being led by the Holy Spirit. Coinky dink? No. The divine moving. I believe that with all my heart. I've heard Rush Limbaugh say that only fools try to read in a professional setting, and then he usually proceeds to read. And so I'm going to do the same. I'm begging you, do not listen based on my ability to read well to a crowd. Listen because I believe God's got some things He's trying to talk to us about. This happened in 1972. I tore up the book this morning. This is an old book. It's okay. Listen to me. Church, if you think that God has to always do something new, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. If God moves in and through us the way He did in the Old and New Testament, we're going to be blessed, church. And something happened in 1972 that I don't believe, again, that God wants to necessarily just move away from. And it's called the afterglow. I don't believe we even have to do it the way they did it. I believe we need the Holy Spirit moving in our congregation. And the way it happened in 1972, Brother Keith, you probably know something about this. I believe it happened primarily through the Southern Baptist churches. But this fellow named Stephen Wirt was the head guy of the Decision magazine for Billy Graham. And a revival broke out in the western part of Canada, and it worked its way down into the northern parts of America. And this fella invited some people, and this is how it happened. It's just very simple. After a service, get this, revolutionary, they went to the basement and put a chair in the middle, and everybody that was there that came, it was completely volunteer. A person would walk to the center into that chair and say, "This is what I'm struggling with, this is what I need prayer for." Then everyone would circle and pray. That's all they did. "I couldn't figure it out," Stephen says. "There I was, sitting in the same easy chair, in the same room, with the same wife, the same job, and I was happy. I felt a silly grin cracking my face, a doggerel tune danced through my head. 'We'll give the glory to Jesus,' the song went. The television set was on, but it showed little to smile about. Minnesota's weather was south of zero. Cambodia had been invaded." Remember, this is 72. "The stock market was slumping like a wet dandelion, and there I sat with a Cheshire grin, not able to understand why. My wife lay on the Davenport reading the newspaper and munching pretzels." Quotations, "My medication requires salt," was her explanation. My wife must be on medication too. She loves pretzels. "Honey," I said, struggling to express my mood, "you're a fine woman. Do you know that?" She muttered something incomprehensible. "I mean it," I said. Furthermore, I believe that you've treated me better than I've treated you. That's true, she said, turning the page. Would you like to play a game of Scrabble? No, thanks. I know what it is, I thought. I've been filled with the Spirit. That meeting on Sunday night. Anything I can do for you, dear? I went on recklessly. You can carry down those boxes to the basement that I asked you to carry 10 days ago. I got to my feet with an air of a man who has just decided to kick a bad habit. The fact was that nothing had taken a turn for the better. It was all muddling along as usual. What I had hoped for had failed to materialize. All the sources of irritation in my life were still there. I had not been to an emotional religious meeting, nor was I taking a trip. But I had a contentment that was not there yesterday. The bitter taste of life was gone. For years, I had cocked my ear to a little voice that whispered, "If only, if only." Where was that voice? For years, I had plugged along trying to serve the Lord and adjusting to disappointments. Now I was savoring the realization that there is no disappointment in Jesus. For years I had carried in my viscera a burning resentment toward certain people. It had disappeared. I came up from the basement thinking about the loyal, faithful, devoted, loving partner God had given me. As I passed the refrigerator, I asked, "Would you like some ice cream?" Winola rattled the papers. "That won't get you out of the doghouse." "Ice cream?" I repeated. "I guess so," she said. "Do you think they're having some issues?" "Yeah." On the previous Sunday night, January the 9th, 1972, about 25 people from different churches had gathered in the basement of a church in Minneapolis. They had just been dismissed from a service upstairs. The speakers were two Canadians, Harry and Evelyn Thiessen, and they had told how God had caused them, after 20 years of an increasingly bleak marriage, to fall in love with each other all over again. It happened. They said, during the revival in Winnipeg a month earlier. But the revival wasn't a big outburst of excitement. Rather, it was a quiet working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of frustrated believers. Am I talking to anybody today? Anybody can be revived, they insisted, if he will deal honestly with his problem, pray for the crucifixion of self, and then ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. They quoted Luke 11:13. "If you therefore, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Fair enough. And besides, it was 8:30 and time to go home, so most of the sensible people went home. And now here we were, the ones who were left, sitting in a circle and looking at one another. A chair had been placed in the center, and Harry was speaking. "This is an afterglow," he said. "We are here to pray. If someone would like prayer, we will pray with him. We can kneel here by this chair or go somewhere else." No one stirred. I began to fidget. I was the one who, after listening to their testimony in Winnipeg in 3.5 weeks earlier, had invited Harry and Evelyn to come across the border and talk about the revival. In fact, I had paid their airfare from Manitoba. Earlier that evening, they had told how the afterglows had been used in churches all over Western Canada with great spiritual results. So here we were in an afterglow, and it had bombed. Now what? Looking around, I noticed that people were beginning to act embarrassed. Perhaps I could lift the tension by asking prayer for myself. Not that I needed it particularly, although one could always use. I began to speak. And to borrow a phrase from Augustine's, "God cut the strings of my tongue. What was hidden in me spilled out. Bitterness, hurt, longing, the sense that life had ganged up on me, resentment toward others. Yes, I had things going for me, but they weren't going anywhere. In personal satisfaction, the equation wasn't working out. I was helping Billy Graham, but no one was helping me. Something was lacking, something in me, no doubt, but a piece was missing, and it seemed to be the most important piece, and I hadn't the muggiest idea as to what it was or what to do about it. Soon, hands were being laid on my shoulders, my head. People were kneeling alongside me and praying for me. Then my turn came to pray, and I did so fervently, eloquently, and I thought adequately. I asked God to help me be this and do that. I finished and tried to get up, but hands held me down. This is where it sounds a little weird. Hang with me. Then I heard Harry's voice, "Ask God to crucify you." Crucify me? I wasn't even sure the idea was theologically sound. It is. "To do what?" I stammered. "Nail you to the cross," was the reply. Well, he had me. This bearded civil engineer from Manitoba. What could I do? I did as he directed. Now ask God to fill you with his spirit and thank him for it. I swallowed and obeyed. Someone started a chorus and they let me go. I went back to my seat, considerably subdued, feeling awkward and foolish. Evelyn smiled in my direction. You probably don't have much of a sensation blessing now. She said, don't worry, the feeling will come later. And how? She was right. It came. And it's never left. Listen to me, church. We have visitors here today. It's extremely important that you know Brother Ben's not having a moment where I'm starting to ask God for the second blessing. I'm not going to start calling you folks to be slain in the spirit. I'm asking every one of us, starting with myself, to submit to the Holy Spirit and simply obey him. That's all I'm calling us to do. That's it. He will change your life. I want to read to you, just these are 3 pages long. This is my kind of book. These chapters are 3 pages long. Can I get a witness? That's my kind of book. And this author writes in small 7th grade words. My kind of book. The Canadian revival in its first phase is over. Many people didn't know it had begun. As far as I am aware, not a single interdenominational church gathering has taken notice of it. Ralph and Lou Satura, the American evangelist who God used so remarkably in Saskatoon in 1971 and elsewhere since, are continuing to hold meetings in the power of the Spirit. From a modest office in Regina, Saskatchewan, the Canadian Revival Fellowship, organized in 72, reports an increasing number of inquiries from all over the world asking for news of revival activity. Teams, books, tapes, and tracts are going out in a steady stream. This is in 1972. Great blessings are reported in letters from churches and individuals. But the Saskatoon explosion that made brief newspaper headlines in October and November in 71 is finished. The original impetus that was used of the Spirit of God to revive scores of congregations in British Columbia and Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba is no longer present. That, too, is part of God's sovereign plan. Other great spiritual developments are taking the world's center stage. Developments more significant in human eyes and possibly in God's economy. Problems of world hunger, of energy shortages, of increasing religious and racial hostility, and dominating the 70s. It's dominating the 2019s too. Amen, church? Those things, did you listen to them? World hunger, energy shortages, increasing religious and racial hostility. Meanwhile, as religious and psychological fads come and go, the options open to seekers turn out to be dead ends. The opportunities for evangelical Christians to spread the gospel throughout the Western world are proving unparalleled, and that is true still today. The China Underground Church is having its greatest growth ever. In Latin America, in Africa, south of Sahel, and in parts of Asia, the churches are growing at an unprecedented pace. Persecution is growing too, but through it all, the name of Jesus is being magnified. Perhaps God is about to visit the human race with a revival. This was written in 72. We're still waiting. The nature of which is presently inconceivable to us, it may be the prelude to the climax, as history has recorded in Matthew. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now listen, church, I've read to you almost 3 chapters to get to this point. Please hear me. In face of all these tremendous movements, the affair in Western Canada seems small indeed. It just happened to be a touch of love that reached across the border and found me, this author says, in Minnesota. It met my need and forced me to reorder my priorities. In a way, it was exasperating to spend years trying to change other people and then discover that what God wanted to change was me. Church, hear me. The greatest issue in your life is not someone else, something else, it's you. And the Holy Spirit is here to change you. And when you let him change you, he'll change, most likely, the things around you. And if he doesn't change the things around you, he'll change how you respond to him. And he'll bring glory to his name as a result. The impact I had hoped to leave on my world was nothing to the impact the Holy Spirit made on me, the author says. He sent me back to square one. As Vance Havner would say, I had to cut out all the theological grand opera and go back to practicing the scales. Instead of talking and writing about the cross, I was nailed to it. Instead of talking up the problems of humanity and trying to unravel them, I faced up to my own. Instead of urging others to be unselfish, I was emptied of self. And instead of going through life spiritually dehydrated, I fell into a vat full of love. I fell into a vat full of love. Church, I am intimately aware of a lot of the issues that folks in this church struggle with. Some of you are intimately aware with the struggles that I struggle with. And I'm telling you, and I mean this to be an encouragement to you, we ain't got nothing going on that God can't handle. And the instant obedience to the initial prompting of the Holy Spirit is the answer. He loves you. Yes, he's the third person of the Trinity, but that's not a ranking, church. God the Spirit has everything God the Son and God the Father has. And he comes inside of you, and he wants to display and portray Christ through us to the glory of his name and to the changing of our world. So, what's the challenge today? Hang with me. Yeah. I've got very little left, so relax. The title of this message is Hitting the Chair. I'm asking you today to hit the proverbial chair. Because remember that chair in the middle of those afterglows, that was where you went when you needed prayer, when you needed help. You went to the chair. You hit the chair. And chapter 10 talks about, because Winola was a distant observer and she wasn't sure about all this stuff, she told her husband, "You're great in the pulpit, but you ain't so hot to live with." She told her husband that. And that was before he started living daily in the Holy Spirit. She's seen a change. And so she finally said, "So what is this all about?" And he said, "Just come." And so she came. And 30 minutes, 45 minutes into it, she keeps asking her husband, "Why are they praying so long? Why are they taking so long?" She was fighting at church. And finally she said, "All right." And she got up and she said, "All right, this is what I'm struggling with. I don't know what to do with it. All I know to do right now is to hit the chair." And she hit the chair and she surrendered to the Holy Spirit. She surrendered to him on the things that she was mad about. She surrendered to him on the things that she was discouraged about. And she let him be the God of her life. And God started to change her. Church, we as individuals need to hit the chair. "Lord, here's my issues. Here's my problems. Can't nobody fix them like you. And I'm asking you to do it. However you want to do it, lead me step by step, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month. Change me, Father, to look more like you." But there's something even greater why this is so important individually. You see, God starts right here, but then he moves out. There's a church in Magnolia, Arkansas. Go ahead and show the picture, Brother Brad, when you get the opportunity. That has set their youth director, Dustin Wisely. He's a Missouri young man. They've set him aside to pray. They've set him aside to pray for 21 days. They started last Sunday. Brent Summerhill, the pastor, asked the church to pray for 21 days, fast one meal a week, and ask if God wants to set Dustin aside to come to Missouri to plant a church. This is an answer to a 30-year-old prayer from the Merrimack Association and from the State Association. Send us a man. Send us a man. We met two Mondays ago and told them what we were willing to do. As two associations, we're willing to give $25,000 apiece for salary, $25,000 apiece for work fund. Y'all know I can't do the math. That's somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 a year in support of a mission point. We're serious. We're serious. But watch this, church. Unless God's in it, we're wasting our time and money. And it's His money and it's His time. And so we want to know, is God behind this? I'm asking you today, per the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to hit the chair with them. First Baptist, Magnolia, let's cut. Now, we're coming 7 days late to the party, so we've got 14 days to pray and ask God, do you want First Baptist Magnolia to set them, to set Dustin and his wife and four beautiful little girls aside for the ministry? Brother Bob came to me afterwards and said, Brother Ben, what is First Baptist Magnolia to us? They are a sister church in the National BMA Association. Every group of evangelical churches, whether it be Southern Baptist, Independents, BMA, ABA, fill in the blank, they have mission organizations if they're doing what God's called them to do. And we're trying to plant a church for the first time in almost 30 years. We need to seek God's face. Now, I'm going to read some things to you. I'm asking you to listen. The real reasons in your life to hit the chair, to crucify flesh, to overcome the devil, to not be conformed to the world. Why prayer? Why is prayer the key? Church, prayer is the key because it declares your independence upon God. It can do anything God can do. All failures are prayer failures. Jesus depended upon it. He referred to it when he was telling the disciples about casting out a demon in a certain person. He said, these demons are only cast out through much prayer and fasting. If God is not in this, ladies and gentlemen, he will not bless it. We do not want to see a work of man. We don't want to see a work of Dustin. We don't want to see a work of Ben Kingston. We want to see a work of God. We would want Dustin and First Baptist to pray for us if it were Tom Nays, Todd Walters, or Brad Bannerman. Amen, church? Amen. We would. Benjamin Kingston, fill in the blank. Eternity will be affected positively and or negatively by this decision. Hannah conceived after prayer. Elijah stopped the sky from raining after prayer. Moses parted the Red Sea after prayer. Noah built an ark after prayer. Joshua built the walls of Canaan. And the walls of Canaan came down after prayer. Samuel anointed a rogue king after prayer. Jonah was delivered from the whale and delivered a nation from destruction after prayer. David pursued and overtook his enemy after prayer. Daniel survived and thrived in the lion's den after prayer. Gideon destroyed a large army with 300 after prayer. Elijah brought fire and rain after 3 years and killed 850 false prophets after prayer. Elisha's servants' eyes were opened after prayer to see the host of angels protecting them. Elijah brought fire down from heaven and consumed two different groups of 50 after prayer. Joseph interpreted dreams after prayer. Joshua understood there was sin in the camp after prayer. Ezra led a group of faithful Israelites back to Jerusalem after prayer. Nehemiah built the wall after prayer. Solomon gained wisdom and wealth after prayer. Anna and Simon knew they would see the promised Messiah after prayer. Zechariah knew he would have a child after prayer, the forerunner. Mary and Joseph knew they would have Jesus after prayer. Jesus prayed before he picked his disciples. Jesus prayed before his crucifixion. The church prayed before they were endued by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to end on this one, on all the biblical examples of prayer. And those weren't all. The church prayed and Peter was miraculously delivered from Herod. And the list goes on. Hopefully in the annals and records in the holy halls of heaven will be recorded countless souls won in Columbia or wherever the Lord leads after prayers have been registered on Dustin's behalf. Will you pray? Now, I'm going to share with you, church. You know, the regulars here, you know I'm diabetic. I'm told I can't, shouldn't, fast, all that, I get it. It's not quote-unquote healthy. I got all sorts of things I can fast from. If food is not an option for you to fast, pick something. If you're healthy and you can, I'm asking you to fast from one meal a week. That's two meals in the next 2 weeks. Take that time and just pray. if God is asking Dustin to come here, if God is asking First Baptist Church to set him aside for the mission field. We need a victory, church. We need a victory. I've read it to you before. Of all the churches in our association that have goose eggs in their baptism column, I've read it to you, all the churches that we've lost in the last 10 years. If God doesn't move, there's not going to be a Merrimack or State Association before too long. I hope and pray there will always be a Bethel until Jesus comes. But that depends on us following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm here every Sunday, just about, except for the ones that I'm sick or the ones that I'm on vacation. I'm here every Sunday. I know what goes on here at Bethel Baptist Church. This has been different. Today has been different. I usually don't read half of my message from a book. With that said, I absolutely and am in no way apologizing. I believe this is what God laid on my heart. I believe it's what we needed to hear. Church, I want to talk to you as your loving pastor for 21 years, youth director for 8. I've been associated with Bethel almost 30 years. God has given us one of, if not the greatest youth director we could ask for. God has given us one of, if not the greatest associate pastor, administrative pastor in Todd. God has given us a young man that is gifted. I heard Tom Nays preach perhaps the greatest funeral sermon I've ever heard. We've got 3 men that could absolutely go and plant a church right now. But I want to ask you a question. Wouldn't that hurt? It would. But wouldn't it be the right thing if the Holy Spirit led us to do it? Absolutely. And hear me, church. I've spoken with all 3 of these men. That's the only thing keeping that from happening. If or as soon as the Holy Spirit leads, those men or even myself will go and do what God calls us to do. But please hear me, church. We're kidding ourselves if we don't think that there's a fleshly level at First Baptist Church. They want to keep Dustin. Let's pray for them. Let's pray grace for them. Let's pray wisdom, if you will, beyond their years for them. Let's pray that they're willing to give Dustin if that's what God is requesting. And then let's do something that we would want a church to do for us. Let's ask God to give somebody even better, if you will, than Dustin for the next guy, the next youth director that follows Dustin. Let's pray that that guy sets the world on fire in the youth ministry to honor First Baptist Church for giving a man to go plant a church in another field. And yes, in Arkansas, Missouri is a foreign field. And that's silly, but I'm just telling you. And just to you, to us as Missourians now, Arkansas is a foreign field. Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this service. Father, if someone here needs to hit the chair in this altar, we pray that they'll do it. Father, we pray that we'll all submit to you in the leadership of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Will you come? If you've never, ever accepted Christ as your Savior, come. We want to talk to you. Thank you.